The following recording offers you a number of different options for the Daf Yomi. It begins with a recording of this, the 13 cycles of Daf Yomi, and that's done rather rapidly, within a half an hour or less. That's followed by a quick review between 5 and 10 minutes, depending on the length of the Daf. After that comes the very same Daf from the previous cycle, done at greater length and much greater detail, with different participants and a different ambience. You could choose one for your original learning, one for review, alternate, or whatever you do, enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you by Bein Chomot Yerushalayim, is Daf Samach. And we're holding right at that Halak Mishnah. Lo Yetze Ha'ish. Up until now we've been talking about things that women should not wear, the issue being the possibility that it might be removed for whatever reason, Tefillat Mitzvah, show off, break, and then would be carried in Rishut HaRabim. Now we're going to talk about things that a male can also not go out with. Lo Yetze Ha'ish B'Sandal HaMesumar. So you can't go out with a shoe that has cleats on it. Now, actually, these masmerim, we'll see that this cleats, they're called cleated shoes. And it's not really the equivalent of our cleated shoe, because what it's for is to have a very strong connection between the, what do they call the upper? Maybe they just call it an upper, between the upper and the sole.
Of the shoe.
But it leaves an actual nail that goes through from the top to the bottom, and it sticks out and gives you traction, but it also, if you step on somebody, you're going to hurt them. And we'll see that there was a very tragic event of a panic in which people wearing these shoes caused a lot of horrible damage to each other. Because of that, we made a takona not to wear it. Now, why it's only on Shabbat, the Gemara's going to discuss. But in any event, you cannot, therefore, go out, even a male, wearing a sandal hamesumar. V'lo b'yachid, nor can you go out wearing a single shoe, b'zman she'en b'raglo makah, unless, of course, you have a cast on your other foot, and nobody's going to laugh at it or anything. But if you're walking out with a single shoe, A, people are going to laugh at you, and that will push you to remove it and stop looking the fool. And B, you may just feel out of balance, take it off yourself. So, for any reason, it's not Mutar on Shabbat. You can't take out your tefillin. We'll talk about that in the Gemara. And you can't even be wearing a kamiya, which is a type of amulet that you would wear for various things, ayin hara, or to get rid of your strep throat. Works about as good as antibiotics, you know. Bizman she'eino mun hamumche. That's only if it is not a well-established kamiya. What exactly defines that? We're going to see in the Gemara. V'lo b'shiryon, and then we have a list of various war uniforms. So first of all, you can't go out wearing a suit of armor. V'lo b'kasta, you can't go out wearing your helmet. V'lo b'magapayim, you can't go out wearing your army boots. V'im yatsa, however, in all of these cases, even if you do, eno chayav chatat, and we're going to again discuss the issue, the problem of going out wearing war things. Sandala masumar my time, what the heck is wrong with wearing a cleated shoe? Omar Shmush, basically what happened was, shalfei hagzera hayu, there were people who were trying to avoid the Romans, and they were in hiding. They were hiding out in a cave, and the rule was, anybody who comes in, but you don't go out again. And we are programmed to receive, but you can never leave. So, because look, if you're coming in, you can take suitable precautions before entering to make sure that you're not being observed. But how do you know when you go out that you're not being observed? You never know. And this also, of course, protects you from any possible spies. If you shoot anybody who's going out, then there's no problem if you're ever getting information out. In any event, that was the rule. Now, the sandalim in those days were basically just the oval creations, weren't very, very fitted to your foot. And it was possible to put them on backwards, you know, and that somebody got to send us on backwards. And it looked like the front was the back and the back was the front. So when he walked in, it looked like he had walked out. And the watchman noted that there were footprints that were leading out of the Ma'arah, which to them was like, oh my God. So then for sure somebody observed them. And Kisvurim Ramiam Yatsavar Uaivim. It must be that he was spotted. Vyakshab Bainalayim, they had this sense that they have moments to escape. There was a tremendous panic. Everybody tried to get out at the same time. And Dachakuza Bezev Arguze Azeyateri Mashalgubem Oivim. They caused more deaths in the panic and stepping on each other with these sandalim than would have been caused by the Oivim actually attacking them. Rabbi Eloi ben Elazar, it wasn't that. It was that they heard people walking. These sandalim sumarim, they make a tremendous amount of noise. It's like wearing taps on your shoes, and any time that you walk, you hear the metal clicking. So they thought there were soldiers on top of the Ma'arah where people had been walking. Tzatzos understands it. Vishomu kol me'agabe ha'Ma'arah, and that was what caused the panic in Kisfurim ha'yishabayu alayim oivim. Docha kuzeh bezev arguzeh zeyoteri ma'ashar gugayim oivim. Rami bar Yecheskel says, it was like one of these, you know, crusades kind of thing. They were all in the Beit HaKnesset. They were convinced they were all going to be burned alive. And there they were sitting in the Beit HaKnesset. Shomu kol me'achorei Beit HaKnesset of these Nazi boots. And they figured Kisfurim ha'yishabayu alayim oivim. And they all tried to escape at the same time. So therefore they made a takana, al yetze, nobody should go out b'sand ala mesumar. Understand? So then what does that have to do with Shabbat? Why does it say lo yetze b'sand ala mesumar? I mean, in this parak. You want to tell Stamik Zerif, takanas of the churban, whatever, so put it in sotah. So then it should be us at all times. B'chol nami litzer. No. You don't understand. This wasn't a takana to prevent such an event from happening. I mean, it's ridiculous. What are the chances such an event is going to happen? The point is that we're trying to make a zecher, so that people should remember the horrific historical circumstances that we were in. And therefore, the maaseh, it's a takana which we sometimes have, the concept of a takana made for a zikaron. And since the maaseh ki havi, mishabbat havi, so we answered it on Shabbat, because that was the tragedy, everybody was in shul, and this is how it happened. And so we made a takana on Shabbat not to wear it. So then, I don't get it. So then, on Yom Tov, it should be mutar. Then, why does it say in the Mishnah, Lamatznan, it says you're allowed to send gifts on Yom Tov, avolos adala mesumar, and not a minal shenot afor that can't be used. Now, why can't you send a sandala mesumar? You can use that. Well, no, you can't, because look, b'Shabbat my time, why did we ask it on Shabbat? Basically, in other words, it was a time when everybody came together. That was the event. So we're not asking Stam to wear a sandala mesumar. Talking about not wearing a sandala mesumar in circumstances similar to the original circumstances, which was everybody getting together in shul, right? So Yom Tov, everybody gets together, same thing. So Yom Tov Nami, Iki Kenufia. Well, so then on a Tani Tzibur, there's also Iki Kenufia. Why don't we ask for wearing a sandala mesumar at an Aguda convention or something, you know? So then Litza, because the point is it wouldn't ring true as a memorial. The Maaseki Havi Bikinutia di Isura was a type of gathering that was aware of its being a special day that prevents doing melacha on some level. And over here it's not a convention. I mean, you tell me it's people getting together for Tani Tzibur, it doesn't have the same feeling as the original event. And the truth is, I want you to know that even according to Rabbi Hanina ben Akiva, we have a famous machloket about what exactly the din would be. There's an interesting gezeira, another one of these gezeirot, which was made because of a one-time event and because of Chomer B'Kodesh, which is where this appears in Chagiga. They wanted people to be aware of this thing. What happened was they once were transporting. They were using water transport to get the mechatat. They used it, and they would send it across the Yarden. And they once discovered that in the boat that was being used to transport the Mechatat, there was a Kezayit Menamet, and somebody had murdered someone or whatever. And there was a Kezayit Menamet in the boat. And that was a disaster. I mean, you're talking about, you know, this stuff is worth millions. You know, they had to throw it all out. It was all Metame the Mechatat. They made a takana that you're not allowed to put the Mechatat in a Jordan River crossing boat. So the question was, is that literally a Jordan River crossing boat, or you don't put it into any water or any boat? I mean, how? And in fact, over there, we have this shita, Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, that lo asur, they asur the exact type of boat on the Yarden. Nothing else. So those, according to him, lo asur lo biyardenu bisfina uchomaaseh shehaya. So he believes that these types of gezerot that are made as commemorative gezerot have to be the exact circumstances in which the event originally took place, in which case you would have thought that that would make the Isser on Yontif not be a Libra Rechanin Ben Akiva, because Yontif is not Shabbat. Therefore, says the Gemara, it's not true. Even according to Rav Chanina ben Akiva, look, there's a difference between the Yarden and other Neharot that is much more felt than the difference between Yom Tov and Shabbat. When you're on the Yarden, I mean, how often do you get on the Yarden? I mean, it's like, you know, it's what, so because I'm in the Yam HaKineret, so therefore I'm in the Yarden. Because I'm walking across the stream, therefore it's the Yarden. I'm on the Mississippi, I'm confusing that with the Yarden. So because of that, it's different than anything else. But Yom Tov and Shabbat, can't that be, Nino? For all intents and purposes, Yom Tov and Shabbat is the same. Look at the Lashon HaRa Mishnah, it's not. Ein bein Yom Tov v'Shabbat, ela ochel nefesh bilvad. In every other sense, it's the same. Want you to know also about the sandal mesumar, it's also only where it is similar to the original type of sandal, and that is that the nails were put in there as part of the actual construction of the sandal. Now, you know, the cowboys, they like to put in those, you know, those neat looking brass things. They don't serve any purpose, they just make it very pretty.
Spurs.
Well, those serve a purpose, but to make you look like an authentic cowboy, all the kids are wearing these little ostentatious things. Yeah, so that's mutter. That's not considered to be a chizuk for the na. Well, I mean, how are you supposed to? How do you know the difference? Well, how many of these things would be tolerated as noi and not chizuk? Rabbi Yochanan says, well, you can have 5 in the right shoe and 5 in the left shoe. Rabbi Chanina says you can even have 7 in the right sandal, 7 in the left sandal. And Rabbi Yochanan explained to Rabbi Shama Bar Abba, about these numbers, I want to explain to you. Look, when I'm talking about 5, it's because each sandal has a symmetrical construction. 2 on the outside of the sandal, 2 on the inside part of the sandal, and 1 on the tongue of the sandal. That makes it look like, you know, decorated. And according to Rabbi Chanina, who allows 7, it's 3, 3, and 1, you know.
Is that just, keep it all together?
No. It's decorative, essentially. Meite. Sandal hanote. If you have a sandal which is note to one side, that's you may have just gotten an uneven piece of leather, and you're trying to even it out. Or it might have been an orthopedic shoe that was created with, you know, one side of the arch high, which would mean that most of the pressure would be put on the thin side of the leather. So over there, you'd want to be mechazik it and give it a little bit more protection. So over there, you can make 7. And it would still not be considered sandal mesumar, divrei Rabbi Natan. And Rabbi says you can even make 13. Matir b'yud gimel. So bishlam the Rabbi Chanina. Look, Rabbi Chanina is okay because Rabbi Chanina is following the shita of Rabbi Natan. So Rabbi Natan has allowed us to get all the way up to 7, and therefore he's saying 7. But Rabbi Yochanan, I mean, who exactly it would Rabbi Yochanan be going according to? So there's nobody. There'd be no possible way to be matter that number. Well, he holds like Rabbi Noroi. The time Rabbi Noroi Omer, only Chamesh is mutar, but Sheva is asur. And that fits perfectly with Rabbi Yochanan. Now, later on, we're going to say what probably is bothering you right now, and that is, why not simply say that people will see the difference between a sandal hanote and a normal sandal, and they'll understand that it's not a typical sandal of Misumah. In fact, the Gemara suggests that later.
Sorry, these sandals, this one, the nail goes all the way through as well?
Yes. Omar le eifel, Rabba Barbachana. You know, you guys are Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan. You better do like Rabbi Yochanan says, which is five. We're going to allow ourselves, we're not Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan, we're going to follow Rabbi Chanina, who allows seven. Boimene Ravuna, Barnea, do you think you could have a hammer to attack Rishi with, maybe, whatever?
If I use a hammer, I can hammer in the morning.
That's something bloody.
You're Yeah, of course. We wouldn't want to finish you off. I mean, then we wouldn't be achieving anything. We're attempting to wake you up. Now, go check.
The second one, like, sleep.
So Rav Huna asked Rav Ashi, can I wear five on the sandal? Amalei, even seven is mutter. All right. How about nine? No, even eight is usher. Boy, Minea, we're at Anna, a shoemaker, asked Rabbi Ami, what would be the din if you lined the sandal? And tefaro mi bifnim, tefaro does mean sewed literally in this sense. It means lined. It's a way that you talk about lining things. They don't stop. What would be the din? Amale mutar. Look, I know I was talking, it was mutar. I have no understanding of what the reasoning is. V'loyadana my taima. Amle Rav Ashi. What do you mean you don't know what the reason is? V'loyadana mar my taima. I will tell you very simply what the reason is. It's because kiva de tafaro mi bifnim, it becomes a minah. Once you line the entire thing, it's no longer a sandal. It's now a regular shoe. The Rabbanim were only gozer on a sandal. So sandal gozer be Rabbanim, in the same way that we understand the circumstances have to be the same in terms of Shabbat, Yom Tov, and so on and so forth. The circumstances have to be the same when it comes to the type of thing that you're wearing.
Richie's wearing lined Crocs. What are they? Are they sandals?
Lined Crocs.
No nails, though.
Maybe that's what's putting him to bed. It's those comfy lined Crocs. Lined with sheepskin?
Well, something probably more
artificial sheepskin.
They're easier on the socks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But all your socks have holes in them anyway, Richie. I've seen them. sitting on his boat with his holy socks. Okay. It's all right. We won't talk about what you've seen. How about if you make the nail into a calabas? A calabas is actually a staple. Remember we had before. It's a fastener which goes around sort of almost in a circle and clips on, which we would call a staple. How about if you stapled the shoe's mouth? Omale mutar, a picture of what it is or what it isn't. Yes, look at that, a calvus looks just like a staple. However, it's a wrong picture because it has the calvus going in the wrong direction. Omale mutar, that would be okay. Itmanamiyam rabbi yezri bechanina asokim in calvus mutar. Because it's not, again, like the original sandal, I'm assuming. Omrib Sheshes, Hippo Kulob Mas Merot Kadesh Lote Karka Okalato. How about if you cover the entire sole with nails simply to provide not strength of connecting the upper to the sole, but to give it taps, like we would use taps to protect the heel, if you protect the entire sole with taps. So that way you get a metal surface that prevents the leather from being eaten away quickly. How about that? That's mutter, because it's also, it doesn't bear the similarity to the original event. Tani kavate de Rav Sheshet, and indeed we find this in a bright time.
Lo yetzei ish besan dalam esumar. You can't go outside. Forget about going outside. Can't even go from one room to the next. Lo yetayel mi bayit labayit. Remember, a bayit is a room. For that matter, you can't even go from one bed to the next bed in the same room. You don't wear these things. That's the point. It's not a question of tiltul outdoors like the rest of the perek. Afilo mi mita lemita. However, you are allowed to be metaltel it for purpose. It's not going to be mukta, and it's at the worst, it would be a klisha malakta. Well, yes, sir. It's not considered to be a useless thing like a rock. So metaltel, you don't tell a chasot, but a kli. You can use it as a cover for a pot. You can use it as lispokokrei hamita. If your bed has an uneven leg, you could stick it under the leg. If your table and daf yomi shakes when you put your gemara on it, you could put it under your table in Daf Yomi. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, you can't even do that. It's all certain. It's all certain. Completely mutsam. Nashru rov mazmerotav. If most of the nails have fallen out, and ishtayerabo, you've got 4 or 5 nails left, it's mutter. Rabbi is matir until 7 nails. If you cover it with leather, milamata, and then kavalo mazmerot milamala, mutar. So, again, because covering over the sole with a piece of leather protection material is not like the original thing, and therefore doesn't, it's not similar to sandal masumar. So if you made the masmer, it doesn't mean it's sandal, so you made the masmer like a staple, a kalvus, or a decorative nail that has like a tas, or a yatade, or you cover the entire things with nail, kadesh shalote karkar kolato. In all of these cases, it's mutter. I don't understand. So of course this proves rishashis, but meanwhile I understand. You started saying nashur rov masmerotav. If it fell, most of the masmerot were left, had fallen out, and whatever was left. So let's say it had 50, and now you've got 40 left. There should be mutter. You said rov, right? So that means afagav nishtar beituva. Then you say as long as it's only 4 or 5. What does that mean? On Rav Sheshes, it's a big difference. Lokasha, kanshin nigmemu, kanshin ne'ekru. If lamaisa, they've been ripped out. If we could see them, nigmemu means they've just been worn down, but I can still see it. So then that is clearly it was once something that had been usher, and now it isn't. But if it was ne'ekru, then over there, it needs to be 4 or 5. Because if it's ne'ekru lagamre, there's no sign that it was once a sandal mesumar and now has lost its dinner. It looks like this is the way it was made. But if it was made that way, we've got the problem of the original iser. So therefore, you've got to determine whether you can still see it or not.
The original problem was that the nails were spikes.
Yeah. And, well, the panic, obviously, but yeah.
Well, they tighten out. Yeah.
Right.
There's no issue with plowing, wearing the shoes and
shoes. Apparently, there's just enough there to hurt, not really to grind up the ground. It's not, obviously not really, you know, sticking out like a bunch of running shoes with spikes or golf shoes. Arba o chamesh mutar. What does arba o chamesh mean? I don't understand. If 5 is mutar, why mention 4? I mean, obviously, well, how can it be 4 or 5? Rav Chista, well, we were talking about how much of the shoe it covers. Arba bisandal katan, chamesh bisandal gadol, and Rebbe is matir at 7. I thought Rebbe is matir in the bride of Atani, Rebbe matir at 13. Yes, but that brayta was referring to the orthopedic shoe. It was noteh. Noteh is different. Oh, all of a sudden you realize noteh is different. Ashta da titol achi, if you're ready to say noteh is different for Rebbe, so then what were you asking on Rabbi Yochanan? Who does Rabbi Yochanan go according to? Where the most, where everybody is matir at least 7, he's only matir 5. You can say the same thing. Noteh is shiny. And that avoids the whole problem. Rav Matna, or some may say that it was really Rav Achtavoy bar Matna who quoted Rav Matna's father, Ein alachak Rav Elazar bar Rav Shimon. We don't pass like Rav Elazar bar Rav Shimon, who considers it to be completely muktzah. I said, what do I need him to say that for? Pshita, isn't the general rule that Yachid v'Rabim alachak v'Rabim? Yeah, but in this case, Mardatema, I might have thought that it's reasonable, celebrable as a Rabbi Shimon Bar, because, look, basically, obviously he couldn't be saying that it's mukta more than a klisha makali isser, because it is that. He must be saying that, look, if we're going to allow you to handle these things, then you're going to put it on as a matter of course. You're used to putting it on. So part of the takana was, don't wear it, don't handle it, it's off limits on Shabbat. You might think that maybe, indeed, we would paskin like him, even though he's a yachid kamashmalan, that no. In fact, it's not more than a klisha machtali isser. You know, I want you to know. Whoa. So, you know, the guy, the people back here in Bavel have got a bad reputation of being conservadox, you know. So I know that that's what they would call me if I told them what I really think the halacha is here. But he loved the Karli Bavloi Shari Yisur. If people wouldn't call me, oh, yeah, one of these conservadox Babylonians, you know. I myself would be mater many more. Sharina Beituva, I'd be mater a lot, but now that I'm in Eretz Yisrael, I don't dare. The Kama, so how much was he mater? Well, in Pupadisa, they say, well, yeah, he used to be mater 24. In Sur, they say, no, it was 22. Omer Nachum Bar Yitzchak, how do you remember? Well, you remember that when he, Reb Chiya, departed from Bavel, so he departed from Pumbedita and passed Surah on his way to Eretz Yisrael. So what happened is that two of the nails fell out between Pumbedita and Surah. So you can remember, 24 became 22. So Adi Atav in Pumbedita to Surah, by the time he got from Pumbedita to Surah, he was also already Chosar Tarta. He already missed two of his nails. And now, a note from Barnea's neighborhood.
The entire area of the Shvela, of the foothills of Yehuda, and it seems now in other areas as well, where thousands of people lived underground to avoid the decrees of Hadrian, the Bar Kokhba revolt. And they're constructed, their whole cities underground. One of them goes down eight stories, eight levels, and has two shuls at different levels. I've only seen one because that was the one open to the public.
Barnea's not the public?
Yes, that's true. Remember, you went to get Lulavim from that guy. That's where it is. So these are labyrinths also, and you have to twist and go around, and you can slip out of a tiny little hole and be up and around in a viewing area of that room. So if a Roman soldier would follow you in, you would already be in position to shoot and kill him from a different direction. Or if the soldiers were coming in one at a time, you could kill them, but it would block the way.
When Rishi was conscious, he used to be a tour guide, and he probably knows this too.
Yes.
I know it in my belief.
All I can do is.
And they developed all types of methods here. They would boil the olives, and then they were able to cook with them, and they would be smokeless. They had stones that could be heated and stay hot for 24 hours and have food hot on Shabbat. We found out a lot about their life. Why are we saying they're shuls? Because they're marked with a menorah over the door, and there's a place for sitting. That's what seems to be a shul. Now, in one of them, which is in the Matziah, you go down a shaft. You go into a room, you make a right, you're in a shul. You can hear people walking upstairs over the top. And you can literally recreate this scene of being in a shul and everybody panicking to get out the escape hatch. I learned that from Tzvi Besson in the place quoting Shabbos Daf Samech. So this Gemara gets quoted by guides dozens of times a day on a good day when people are here.
Yeah. The amazing thing is that even when they live on the ground, they still have
to have two shoes. Was it the Svarim and Ashkenazim, or was it the breakaway? Lo yetzeh yish besadah lamesumar velo biyachid bizman she'im beraglo haperat makah velo betefilin velo bekamiyah bizman she'enem en amuncha velo beshiryon velo bekastah velo bemagapayim ve'im yatzah eno chayav chatat. Sandala mesumar my time. Amar Shmuel. Well, actually, we talk about Shafei Gzirah. You, are you nech ba'im b'ma'ara? ואמרו הנכנס ייכנס היוצא אר יצא נאפק סנדלו של אחד מהם כי ספורין אין אחד מהם יצא וראו אויבים ועכשיו באים עליהם דוחקו זה בזה והורגו זה בזה יותר מבשור שורגו בהם אויבים רבי אלוהי בן אלעזר אומר במערה היו יושבים ושמו כל מעל גבי המער כי ספורין היו שבאו עליהם אויבים דוחקו זה בזה והורגו זה את זה יותר ממה שהורגו בהם אויבים. רומי בריך אסקרם בבית הכנסת היו יושבים, as Barney explained that could also been in the Mara, ושמו כל מאחורי בית הכנסת, ספרנו שבור עליהם אויבים, דוחקו זה בזה והורגו זה את זה יותר ממה שהורגו בהם אויבים, and that is the basis of the גזירה, באותה שעה אמרו, יצא אדם בסנדל המסומר, and that's it. So Iyaki b'chol namilet. Well, it's only because it happens to be the Damasa Kiyavi b'Shabbat Avi. So then why not be Yom Tov Lishtere? Why does it say that you cannot be Mishaleach a Sandal Mesumar or a Minal Sheino Tafur? Because, look, b'Shabbat my time, what's the reason we ask for it? The Ike Kinufia, because the point is, it's a recreation of the event. Everybody got together. Biyotuv nami yike knufia. So ta'ani tzibur nami yike knufia. No, ma'ase kiavi bi knufia di yisura. Orche knufia de terahu. And even, alibi de Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva di omer lo asro, elo bi yardein, b'svidach, ma'ase shehaya. And you think, therefore, should only be b'shabbat ke ma'ase shehaya. Ha'ani mi le yardein, which is clearly shining nishar neharot. But Yom Tov and Shabbat are essentially one thing, as the Mishnah points out, kat adinino de tzanein ben Yom Tov and Shabbat, elo ochel nefesh bevat. Amre b'yura meshvuo, lo shano elo, where the nails were put in lechazek. Aval lenoi mutar, v'kama is considered lenoi, Rabbi Yochanan amer chamesh in one side, v'chamesh in the other, on the other shoe. Rabbi Chanina amer sheva bezeh, v'sheva bezeh. Amale Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shaman Baraba, let me explain to you what we're talking about. Lididi, shtayim on one side of the same sandal and shtayim on the other, and one in the middle of the tarsiot tav. According to Rabbi Chanina, shalosh bekat v'shalosh bekat v'achat b'tarsiot tav, meitvei. Sandal anote oselo sheva, divi Rabbi Natan, Rabbi Matir, b'shalosh esrei. So bishlam the Rabbi Chanina with the Amak Rabbi Natan. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Amak Amat, he's saying only five. Who the Amak Rabbi Noroi? The Tanya Rabbi Noroi on there. Chamesh Mutar v'sheva Asur. Amalei Eifel Rabba Barbachana. Atun Tamid Rabbi Yochanan, Avidik Rabbi Yochanan. We don't have to be limited to five. We're not Tamid Rabbi Yochanan. I'm not Navik Rabbi Chanina. Boimenei Ravunim Ravashi Chamesh Ma'u. Amalei, why not go up to seven? It's also Mutar like Rabbi Chanina. Okay, why not go up to nine then maybe? No. Amalei Afilu Shmona is Asur. Boimenei Ahuratz Anam Mirabami. Tifarobi bifnim and lined it with leather. Ma. Amale mutar, but I don't know why. Amale loyada mar. My time, huh? Because given the tifarobi bifnim, I really mean al. And a sandal was the only gazero gazru barabon. Bimenal lo gazru barabon. Bumin irababa barzavza mirababa baravina. So okimin kalv is a staple. Ma. Amalei mutar itmanami om Reb Yezbe Reb Chanina asor kemin kalbus mutar om Reb Sheshen. How about if chipu kulo b'masmirot kedesh lo te karka v'chalato? In that case, it's not similar to the original sandalam sumar, and it's mutar. Tanik avati Reb Sheshen lo yetzeish v'sandalam sumar lo yetayel even from one room to the next. I feel it b'mita l'mita ava metata lina tolach asot v'takli l'spoch b'kraya mita. Reb Elazar Reb Shimon says he can't even do that, because once you start with it, you're going to put it on. They answered using it at all on Shabbat. So he's Oser. Nashru Rav Masmerotav would be Mutar, or Nishtayer Ba'ar Ba'chavisha Mutar. Rebbe Matir at Sheva, Chipao Ba'or Milamata, Vekavolo Masmerot Milamala. That also is not similar to the original event, and it's Mutar. Normally it would be made out of eights. Here it was made out of leather. So Okemin Kalvos, Okemin Tas, Okemin Yad. There's your raya. Kadesh lo te karka chalato mutar, exactly as Rav Sheshet had said. Wait a minute, but Haguf Akasha, first he said, Noshurov Masmirotav, which is Mashba, Avagavdish Tayrba Tuva. And then you say four or five only, Tveilo. Amrav Shesha, well, there's a difference between Nigbumu or Nekru. If you can't tell that it's been eaten away, then you're limited to the original numbers. But how do you get four or five? If Chamesh is Shari, Arba Miboy, Omra Chista means Arba Misandal Katan, Chamesh Misandal Gadol. Rebbe Matir at Sheva, I thought Rebbe was Matir at Shloshes, right? Yeah, but that was the orthopedic shoe. Nota Shiny. Well, Hashtadati the Lahaki, you should have said the same thing I leave to Rebbe Yochanan. What were you asking? Rebbe Yochanan only said five. You should have just said Nota Shiny, and therefore Rebbe Yochanan and Lokasha, Nota Shiny. Omer of Matna, some say it was Achtavoy Bar Matna, who quoted his father of Matna, in Alachakar Abloz Rabbi Shimon. Isn't that Pshita? Yochid Varabim, Alachakar Abim. No, not in this case, because Ma'odetema, Mistavra, time of the Rabbaloz Rabbi Shimon. I mean, look, the Takana must have been not to handle it on Shabbat. Kamash Malamu. Omer of Chia. I want you to know, if I wouldn't be accused of being a conservative rabbi, he loved the curly bavloi, shari yisura, I would have been matter an awful lot more than that. Vikama, vipupadita amrin, he used to be matter 24, basura amrin, it's in vitartin. Omrin nakabar yitzel, the way to remember is a simanecha adiatam, vipupadita basura, he lost two of his nails, chaser tartin.
Today we are in Dr. Samach. Rabama? Let's study the Tony. Yesh aleachotam tachshit deish. Hein aleachotam tachshit deisha. We know what Yitzhak Omer. Tumah Shabbat karamita. Tumah kli ma'aseh om rachmona. Mekliu. Shabbat mishum masui om rachmona. Hein aleachotam tachshit. Yesh aleachotam is still maybe mekabal tumah, but it's still masui. Lelo b'maka, shenu v'kru v'lamay chazi. Omer adez v'ho v'yisha ogeret v'asara. Omer le'abay v'tevi kibirit or avatishtrin. Ella Tirgmar Ravada Narshar, Commander of Yosef, Holy Shacholeket Basara Bishabat Makazia, Amarava Tashazav Yesha Arusha, Behol Choleket Basara, Bishabat Menicha Tarkinet Patakta. Loyate Yish Bisan, Lamisumar, Velobiahi, Bismanche Bradlo Maka, Velobitilin, Velobikimia, Bismanche Nomina Mumche, Velobishion, Velobikasta, Velobibangapain, Vim Yatsa, Inokaya Kata. Sandalamisumar, my time, Amashmu, shall fear Zirayu. For you never in the Mara, the Amronic, Pasikanes, Vayotse, I did say. Near Parks and the Lochal Academy, just swear in him, Academy of Yatsa, Vrau, Vim, Vachabainalin, Dorakus, Evagus, as a Yatramasha, good memory. Rabbi Eloi ben Elazar omer b'mara ayu yoshvim, v'shamu kol mi al gabi ha-mara, kisforim ayu shebo aleim oivim, dach akusa v'zev arguza etze yoter, mimar shalgu behem oivim. Romi b'yechesko omer, b'beta knesset ayu yoshvim, v'shamu kol mi akhori b'ta knesset, kisforim ayu shebo aleim oivim, dach akusa v'zev arguza etze yoter, mimar shalgu behem oivim. Bota sha amru, al yetze adam b'sandala mesuma, si achi afil b'chol ma'ami b'itza, That's the case. Why am I Rabbi Barzav? The Rabbi Baravina. עשאו כמין קלבוס מהו. אמרי מותרית, ונעמי המרגש בבחנינה, עשאו כמין קלבוס מותר. עומר פששס, חיפו כולו במסמירות, כדי שלא תהיה קרקע אוכלתו, מותר. תני גבל זה פששס, לא יציע איש בסנדל המסומן, ולא יטייל מבית לבית, אפילו ממידה למידה, אבל מתעדורין אותו, ולעשות בתקלי, לסמור כל קרי עמיתה, ובלא זה רבי שמעון עושה. נושא רוב מצמינותיו, ונשתהיה בו ארבעה או חמישה, מותר. ורבי מתיר עד שבע, חיפור באור מלמטה, וקרב לו מצמינות מלמעלה, מותר. עשו כמין קלבוס, או כמין טס, או כמין יתד, או שחיפרו כולו במצמינות, כדי שלא תיקר כאוכלתו, מותר. אגב, וכאשר אמרת נושא רוב, משמע, אגב, נשתהיה בטובה, ואולי, תוני, וואו, אולי פצה ארבעה או חמישה בטבלו. אמר, ששת לא קשה, כאן שנגממו, כאן שנעקרו. ארבע או חמש מותר, אשת חמש מותר, ארבע מבואי, אומר, פיסת ארבע מסנדל קטן, חמש מסנדל גדול. רבי מתירת שבע, ותני רבי מתירת שלוש עשרה, נוטה שייני. או, אשת עתיד או אחי, שזה סיין פינק רבי אופנה. רבי אופנה אני לא קשה, נוטה שייני. אומר, מה אתה? אמר, לא אמר, וכתבוי בר, מה אתה? אמר, מה אתה? הנה לקחת רבי לא זה ברבי שמעון פשיטה, יוקי ורבי מהלוכה כרבי, מה זה אם נסתבר תאים לרבי לא זה ברבי שמעון בא, כמה שמעון, anyway. אומר בחייה, אי לב, דקורא לי, בעבלו ישר יסורה, שערינה מלטובה, וכמה? בפדוס, בפומבטיס, אמרו, 24, בסורה אמרו, 24, אומר, מה רבי יתו בסימניך, עד יתה, בפומבטיתה, בסורה, חוסר תרתי. In explaining the, what appears to be a contradiction in the din of Yesha Le'achota. What we said in our mission is, V'lo b'tabat she'ena Le'achota. In other words, even a tabat she'ena Le'achota, which you would think is a tachshid, we prohibit going out because of the chashash of perhaps she'll take it off, umach v'yala. So we ask on that from the Sugi and Keli. Over there it lists tachshitei nashim. And among the tachshitei nashim, it lists taba'ot. And explains tabat bein sheyesh aleachotam bein sheena aleachotam, which means that one of the tachshitei nashim is a tabat that has a chotam, according to which it should be mutar latzis bar b'shabbos, and not mutar, but at least not chayiv latzis bar b'shabbos. And over here we're being machalik and we're saying it's not considered to be a tachshit l'nashim at all. So yesterday we brought a very important machlokas between Rabbi Nachman and the Rabbanan as to what defines the nature of the materials of a kli. Whether it's that which the Kli supports or whether it's that which is the support. And we've mentioned many examples, ladders and scales, and of course the case over here of a ring that has in it something else which is either decorative, a stone, or functional, such as a chotam and so on. And we were able to explain the difference between the two Mishnayot is dependent on whether you hold it a kol holech achar, the actual basis, or whether a kol holech achar a chotam, so to speak, in our case. And therefore, if you hold that you look at the ring, and the ring is a golden ring, then we don't care what it is, that it is a gabbai stamper. Ashenkin, if you look at the stamper, so then you'll have to make this distinction between the nashim and between the glory. Rava Amar, today we're up to the fourth line on Daf Samach. Rava offers a very simple solution. The entire question was based on the reading of the Mishnah Kelim that has tachshitei nashim as including vitabat ben sheyesh aleachot and ben sheina aleachot. But the truth is, if you look carefully at this Mishnah, it has a very strange arrangement. Shouldn't it just say, Eloi tachshitei nashim, katlaot nizamim, v'tabaot ben sheyesh aleim chotam mishnah lechotam? I mean, we very often do that in Mishnayot. We don't have to repeat the last word to make it clear that the distinction that we're making is applicable only to the last one, especially since everybody knows that no one wears chotam earrings or nose rings. So, I mean, what's the chashash? Why the repetition of the word v'tabaot ben? Therefore, says Rava, the Mishnah is clearly written with stadim. Stadim means that we have, it bifurcates at one point. And over here, this is what happened. First, we list the tachshitei nashim, included taba'ot, which, of course, you're thinking, oh, so it has to be a tabat that's ruyah for nashim in order for it to be a tabat tumah. No, the tabat, even if it's a tabat that's used by a man, of course, it isn't a tachshitei nashim. Then she yeshu le'achotam, and she'enu le'achotam, it's also going to be a tabat tumah because there's a taba'ot that are used by men. So therefore, there's no problem in understanding the Mishnah. But not by Yitzchak Omer, there's a fundamental problem in your problem. Tuma, Shabbos, Karamisa, I don't understand why you're taking for granted that the definition of a Kli, vis-a-vis Shabbat and Tachshit, and what's considered to be a Masri, would necessarily be related to the Dinim of Tuma. I mean, in a sense, it's absurd. You're going to say, a Kli is Makabal Tuma, and therefore can be worn on Shabbos. So by extension, a hammer is makabel tumah, so let me walk around with a hammer on Shabbos. I mean, when I say, well, what's the question? That a tabat with a signature in it is an instrument, and a kli is makabel tumah. What does that have to do with tashrit? There's two different issues over here. Of course, he's also saying, let's start him. In other words, we start off discussing tachshitei nashim. Now, besides tachshitei nashim, forget about the issue of whether a tabat is considered to be a tachshit la'ish, which is basically the machlokas here, between Menachem and Yitzchak and Rav. In other words, what I'm saying, look up, the Mishnah in Kalim is indeed focusing on tachshitei. Now, the question is a signet ring considered to be a tachshit, because it's a tachshit la'ish? Menachem says, no, but why is it only focusing on tachshitei? It's interesting, by the way, that the use of the word tachshit in by Chazal certainly does not necessarily mean only something which is decorative. A tachshit is used for anything which a person would normally carry around as their needs, the kind of medical tachshit. It isn't really a tachshit, it's functionality that has turned it into a tachshit. It's an extended concept of usage that isn't directly malbush. In other words, so we have gufo, levusho, the tachshitat. So if you have somebody who can't walk properly, it's king because this is tachshit. People think that literally it's a question of tachshit. There are elements, of course, in which something can become a tachshit because it's beautiful. You have to distinguish between a cane that has a silver top and so on and so on. There's also an idea of tachshit b'chlal. You can walk around on Shabbos with the things that you need. So if it's a prosthesis, we'll see later on, you can walk around. If it's something that enables, it's the way in which you always go around. I mean, would you call your eyeglasses a tachshit? But it's called a tachshit in terms of dinim of Shabbos. You know, that's something else. We still have the gezerah. Maybe you'll take them off. In terms of the reading glasses, which you don't wear all the time. Fine, we have a chashash. Maybe if they're sunglasses. So if the sun would go behind a cloud, perhaps take them off. We could have the same gezerah on sunglasses. But I mean, the idea is we're certainly not looking what's decorative. The person is wearing contact lenses. Is there any chashash? Is it easier to wear contact lenses? What are you going to call it? A malbush? Call them malbush? Don't talk shit. So, therefore, bichlal, the use of the word tachshit, according to the master by Yitzchak, it's not the end of the world. So that starnim katani is simply that it's an instrument that is used by a person. Mashenkin over here, I mean, when it's a question of masui, mashashavis, the whole problem is mishum masui yom rachmana. Therefore, we're looking at a whole different set of values. So there, ein aleichot a tachshit, yesh aleichot a masui. Now, I mean, this also turns into a very important machlokas bichlal, the gabidini shabbos, in terms of how to understand the nature of a purely functional thing to a man. This is the old wristwatch problem. There is the functionality, which isn't the functionality, it's something that has to do with the way which your body functions, literally, such as leaning on a cane or wearing eyeglasses. Would it be the same thing?
Is there something in the wristwatch?
There's big enough focus on it. Most are not mater wristwatches for a man, because it's considered to be purely functional. That's the question over here. Is the man's ring a functional item, or is it a decorative item? And we already saw before that things that have functionality but are decorative don't necessarily have to be functioning. At that point, we have the example of the belt. So, and the truth is that, of course, these things are very, very socially sensitive. Bichlal. I mean, we'll see the entire one go over the halacha today. It's an entire issue of carrying on Shabbat has become very, very socially defined. The shadow of what a woman would be allowed to carry. Below the machat she'inan, sorry. That's also one of the considerations. Yeah. Sure. Below the machat she'inan the kuva, a machat without a hole should be purely a masui, but here it's somehow considered only to be one of those things that are usher because of our gezerah. Lamai chazia. Well, what is that for? A machat she'inan the kuva. Amr of Yosef, well, it's very functional. Oh, the Yishal Gerit Basara. Woman uses that normally to, Rashi learns, if there's sarope slipping out, she'll twist them around the needle and put the needle into the sabocha. Yeah, I know it used to be very popular, hatpins.
Yeah,
it used to be very popular, that kind of thing. So, Tosis learns that she actually it puts it into the sabocha to twist the sabocha, to hold the sabocha tight. And it goes around her in a way that doesn't allow hairs to slip out because it's tighter. But so it has a functional purpose over here. So if that's the case, asks Amalei Abaye, so then I understand, what's the problem? But the Havi Kibirit, Torah, v'tishnere. Why then would it not be like a beauty? I forgot what those are called in English, but when women used to wear stockings.
Garter.
Garter, yes, thank you. So it's basically a garter. So at that, the same way that a garter is considered to be, well, first of all, it's considered to be tahora, because it's like the equivalent of taba'ot ha-kelim. So it's not a yad, it's just functional to the kli, but it's not a kli directly for adam. So it's tahora. But we allow a woman to walk out with a garter belt, because lamais is part of her malbush, and we're certainly, what are we going to be choshish for? And even if it's decorative, we're not choshish to undress, take off something, you're holding up her stockings. So here too, I mean, if you're telling me that it's used for Yishov Geret Basara, why isn't it mutar on Shabbos? Ela tirgum ravada narshah kamei Rav Yosef who ilvi yishachu leket basara. A woman uses this machat as a parting device for her hair. So she'll twist the hair around in different directions to create a part. So what's it good for on Shabbos? So for Shabbos b'maychaz, and now Rashi learns that this is based on an assumption that you don't part your hair on Shabbos. Tosfos says there's something terribly wrong with Rashi's whole approach to the subject. Who cares if a woman uses this thing to part her hair? What does that have to do with taking it out on Shabbos? If you're telling me essentially that it's a tool, if it's a tool the rest of the week, so just because it's useful on Shabbos doesn't mean you carry it on Shabbos. Well, what's the Gemara assuming that therefore it's a toxic for? And besides, says Tosfos, whoever said it's usher to part your hair on Shabbos, why would it be usher to part your hair? Rashi said, Shabbos, my cause, what are you going to do with it? You can't part your hair on Shabbos. Why not? Who said you can't part your hair on Shabbos? That's like the old Avram Avinu and the Yarmulke question. I mean, certainly you couldn't part your hair on Shabbos until somebody asks you why not. Therefore, Tosfos says, no. The question over here is, okay, you're telling me that it's useful. It's used to parting your hair. No. Well, what does that have to do with our Sergio? For Shabbos, my cousin? But why is it considered to be a doctor for Shabbos? But obviously, there's some other issue involved, is there not? Oh, my brother, of course, there's another issue involved. You know, on the top of these needles without the pins, without a hole in it, it's not used for sewing. There's always a little touch of Zahav. This is decorative. You've seen these things. So you have this a large top, which is decorative. So that is left in the hair. In other words, the woman walks around with this pin that has a decorative top with a little design in it. The pin is put into her hair. When she stops and needs to part, she should part her hair with it. The lamaisa remains decorative. It's always decorative. Just that it serves this purpose. So Mamela, since it has Shazav Yesha Rosha, so Bichol, the main purpose that we look at is the Cholek of Bissara. But on Bishabbat, Minichata Keneged Badachta, on Shabbat it's still decorative, she pokes it into her hair and leaves it sticking out, so it makes a nice little golden decoration.
Isn't it on the part of the hair, throwing the hair?
Combing, yes. Just as a bit of parting. Why would... No, this is parting individual hairs. So put a pin through to make the hairs go to either side. Yeah, so why would that pull out hairs? Okay. Listen, I mean, it's clear that it's not working. Lo yetzei ha'ish b'sandal ha'misumar. You cannot go out wearing your football cleats on Shabbos. The lo biyachid, or you cannot go out wearing a single sandal. Not two. One reason Rashi offers is because when everybody bursts out laughing as you walk down the street, you may take it off and carry it on. That's a possibility. Okay. The other pshat is that the Yerushalmi brings a pshat in Yerushalmi that people will be chayshed him. That he's carrying the other one somewhere. Probably just his foot was hurting him, so he took it off a little bit. There. Unless, of course, Bizvanche Baraglo Makat. I mean, if there's a Makat, then the Makat is Mofiat. Why he's only wearing one? This is Makhov. So tomorrow, we'll see, is he wearing the sandal on the bandaged foot or on the non-bandaged foot? And very often you see people walking around with only one shoe, but on the other foot, there's a big cast or bandage. So that's one approach to what the Mishnah means. Velobit Tefillin. Cannot wear your tefillin on Shabbos. Velo b'kamiya bizman she'enu min ha'mumcha. And if you have a kamiya that is not given out by Shabbos, then you can't wear it on Shabbos because you don't know that it works. Velo b'shiryon, you can't be wearing your armor. Velo b'kazda, you can't be wearing your helmet. These are all for war. It's a war. Velo b'magapayim, these are armored boots. V'im yatsai nofei afchatat. But again, just like the parallel Mishnah, legabe a woman, where we have a list of things which are not minyoraita considered to be masur, But for some reason, or us in Rabbanan terms, Isha, because of maybe she'll take it off and show, we'll see that in this Mishnah, new issues are introduced, including the strangest one, which is the very strange case of a sandal on the Sumar. A sandal on the Sumar introduces a Gezerah, which has nothing to do with Hutzah on Shabbos, and nonetheless, it's included over here because it's a kli that you're not allowed to wear. We're talking about begadim and tafshitim. You'd think that this is a perfectly reasonable thing to wear on Shabbos, your kli to choose. Kamash Milan, you can't. Why? Sandal on the Sumar, my time. Before we get to the actual case, I just want to be magdim, that there are certain gezerot that Chazal make that are called Mishum Ma'aseh Shayu, Shayam. And those are gezerot that one cannot be learned from the other. Because there are certain events that Chazal view as seminal in some way, and wanted to be koveya, a behavior among people that would retain the impact of that event. They would sometimes make a gezera that seems to be outrageous, and that doesn't really have applications under the circumstances, and a gezera that would apply under only very specific circumstances, that might recreate the exact event as it was, and only that's awesome. Change it a little bit, it becomes mut. One of the cases that we're going to have later on was a case in which the Mechatas was transported on a ferry boat across the Yarden, and it turned out that they had passed over, there was a mate underneath the boat. Because of that, they assured transferring Mechatas on a boat over the Jordan River. I mean, at least that's one mandiyom. It's a machlokas, how specific Gezerah Mishum Ma'aseh Shayu is. Maybe they asked at all rivers and so on. But in any event, there's a certain thing that they want to machdir into you, to take an extra concern for a possibility of a tumah, a dead body in that case, that you wouldn't have normally thought about in the, underneath the boat. In this case, it was a tragedy that took place. It was during the time of the Roman Gezerot. And apparently, according to most Perushim, it happened three different times. And at each time the tragedy was caused, it involved a sandal on the Sumar for some reason. And therefore, in order, some learn, some machlokas, what the point of the gezerah was, some learn that it was bedafkin not to cause a gemat nefesh on Shabbat v'chai.
Not to cause
a gemat nefesh, pain, that people couldn't help but think about these kind of things. Now, in our own times, unfortunately, we have very, very similar meisim in the Holocaust, the meisim that are going to be defined over here, which people were killed because of their fear. So they ended up clawing each other to death or trying to scramble out of a bunker and so on and so forth. And those are the cases that the sandal on the Sumar was involved in. And in each case, the sandal on the Sumar itself played a role, either because they heard an approaching sandal on the Sumar that sounded like a Nazi soldier, with the way that it was clamping on the ground, and so they panicked, or because of the way a sandal on the Sumar could be turned around to be worn in either direction, as we'll see, or because they clawed their way out and actually hurt each other on the way out of the bunker wearing their sandal on the Sumar, which penetrated other people. So because of that, they asked wearing it on Shabbos. So sandal on the Sumar, my timer. Omar Shmuel shal feha gzerahadi. These were people that were escaping the gzerot of the Romans. They were hidden out in a cave. No one's allowed out, people are allowed in, you can't go out. We have no way of determining from the inside whether we're under observation. From the outside, you can look and you can see. You go in only at such a time that it's safe to go in. But if somebody walks out, it's very possible they'll be seen. We have no way of knowing. And therefore, no one is allowed out. Now, what happened is, what they used to wear, was wearable on either end. In other words, it was covered in the middle. And if it didn't fit you properly, you could stick your foot in the end of the sandal. We also have sometimes the bottom, the toe part of the sandal is left open. So these were sort of primitive things. You could stick your foot into it backwards, and it wasn't quite comfortable. Somebody did, and it looked like he had left. And then he walked in. Footprints were walking the other direction. And the watchers were convinced that someone had gone out, and that that they were about to be attacked. So Kisvurim Hain inside the Mara, Echameyam Yetzah, Vro'u Oyvim. What happened to him? V'yakshav Bo'in Alayim. And they panicked. And Dachaku Zebezeh. V'argu Zedzeh Yotevi Mashargu Behem Oyvim. It was greater catastrophe than if they'd actually been attacked. Yeah, there's another way. Rabbi Leib ben Elazar, Omer, V'mara Ayu Yoshvim. Now many learned this was a different story. That they were in a Mara, V'shamu Kol Me'al Gabeh HaMara, they heard a tapping sound. Rashi, Tosfos says, made by a sagal misumar on top of the mara, which they mistook for a Nazi soldier. Shikisfur nayu shebu alayim oyvim. There too, dachaku ze bezeh, v'agu ze zeh yoter mimar shehargu behem oyvim. There was a third maisa, Rami bar Yecheskel. Remember, Beit HaKnesset ayu yoshvim. They were actually hiding out in shul. Again, unfortunately, Maisim Shahayo B'Meshach in the Middle Ages many times. V'shamu kol mi'achori Beit HaKnesset. Kisvurin ayu shebu alayim oyvim. They would burn him up alive in the shul. Dachaku ze bezeh v'agu ze zeh yoter mimar shehargu behem oyvim. When, again, those who learned that these are three separate events and not three descriptions of an old event that it was beginning to be vague, so after they saw three times that such an event had happened, that was always involved for some strange reason, a sandala misuman, so both Tasha Omru, Al Yetzi Adam Besadala misuman, don't wear a sandala misuman. I should say, Yehaki Bechol Nami Litza, then why not just say, don't wear it? That was after Shabbos. Because Maisish Kehavi B'Shabbos Havi. The events took place on Shabbos. I said, then why isn't it mutar on Yontif? On Yontif, Allah Matzan, it says that you cannot send on Yontif, Avalo Sandala Misumar, you cannot send a Sandala Misumar on Yontif, because it's not usable. You could only send on Yontif, something would be usable to wear on Yontif. Velo Minal Sheino Tafur, furthermore, a shoe that is not completed, you're not going to be able to use it, begotten that are not completed, so use it for other things. Well, that's because B'Shab is my time. I mean, look, we're not going to say that it only goes on a day where the temperature was 32.5 degrees because that's what it was when it might have happened. I mean, we need to find some element that's significant. Obviously, the significance was that it was a time of gathering together. People were coming together. Shabbos is a time in which people come together. You have this recreate the same circumstances in which you have thousands of people in a small building and that nobody can help but sort of remember that fire exit's big enough. I mean, what if the same thing happens again? So therefore, they were conveyed in that way. So Biyomtav, you have the same thing. Biyomtav nani ike kenufia. Well, if the issue is kenufia, so what about a Titus Sibur? You say, any day which is similar to the time that it happened, which is where people were gathered, so on the Titus Sibur, which is neither Shabbos or Yomtav, people gather together. True, but Maisa, kihavi bi kenufia di isura. And also kenufia de tera. The point is that kenufia also is in terms of why are we getting together. On Shabbos and on Yom Tov, it's a time which is also the malacha. And therefore people relate to the events that were. It happened on a Shabbos. We all came together in shul on a Shabbos. Or we were hiding out in a mar on Shabbos. Why are they thinking in terms of Shabbos? Because it's a special day because you remember we weren't able to turn on the lights. Couldn't cook. But a Titus Sibur is a kenufia de tera, and therefore doesn't really satisfactorily recreate. I mean, even according to Rabbi Chanina ben Akavia, who holds that in the case of the famous Jordan River Gezer, of the Pora Aduma, wherever there, lo also ela b'yardein, he says they only answered the Jordan River, no other river, and they only answered in a Sfina, they only answered in a motorboat, not in a barge. Uchamaseh shayah, I think precisely the way it was originally. That's because these things are strongly noticeable. So, ani mila yarding the shiny mishar naharot of a yom tov v'shabbat yadani minu. Even Rabbi Chanina ben Akavia would be made that if lumaisa, there's no clear way that people would immediately distinguish between one thing and the other, that it wouldn't be significant. So Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's not significant because that's what the Mishnah says. Ein dein Yom Tov v'Shabbat ela ochel nefesh kovat. People's mind is basically the same thing. Therefore, because we answer on Shabbat, we answer in Yom Tov, but already Titus Tibur is really different. Doesn't have the same ambience, and therefore we weren't gozer. Afilu Rabbanu. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, lo shanu ela lechazek. When we're talking about a sandala misumar, we are not talking about any shoe that has nails in it. In order to be similar to the Maisa Shahaya, a sandala misumar was made in order to be tough and rough. So you would put nails through it to keep it, held it together, created cleats on the bottom, it grabbed the ground, and there was all purpose to it. Now we know that these pansies go around wearing these little taps on their shoes to make pretend that they're ballet dancers. But that's not a sandala misumar. That's a decoration. So nobody will connect those two issues. And therefore, if you're wearing something which is a decoration, lenoi is mutter. How exactly do we define lenoi? I mean, is everybody going to know that it's lenoi? What is called lenoi? וכמה רנוי? רבי יוחנן אומר, חומש בזה, וחומש בזה. רבי חנינה אומר, שבע בזה, ושבע בזה. How do we come up with these numbers? The number of cleats that you could have in a shoe. Omale Rabbi Yochanan Rav Shama Bar Abba Azber Lachal. Let me explain to you where we come up with these numbers. Lididi, what I'm talking about is a shoe that essentially has two nails that are banged into it on the outside, one connected to the heel and one connected to the toe, two that are on the inside between your two feet, one connected to the heel and one connected to the toe, and then you have a nail that is banged into the place where the ritzuot come out from, and it's decorative, it's balanced. So everybody sees the idea over here is a decorative balance, and it's not pieces of metal sticking out of your shoe. And that's okay. The other shot where Reb Chanina was saying that it's seven, like, fine, but also it's a matter of balance. I mean, he holds it even if you have three on one side of the shoe, three on the other side of the shoe, one betar siotah. It's also balanced and it's clearly decorative. Meisvei sandal hanoteh oselo sheva. Rabbi Matir b'shloshasa. I mean, Rabbi Chanina can say, okay, I hold of Rabbi Nosson, therefore I said seven. Well, Rabbi Yochanan is arguing, and everybody's arguing on the Tanoim, he's arguing on Rabbi. I mean, well, come on. Who do you make Rabbi Nohoroi? The Tanya Rabbi Nohoroi, Omer, Chamesh mutar v'sheva asur. So he tells that only five is considered to be clearly decorative. Amalei Eifa, you remember, was the son of Rav Rechava the Pumbedisa. Remember, there were two sons we mentioned always. So Eifa was one of those sons. And he asked Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, I mean, he told Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, you know, Haton Tomid Rabbi Yochanan. I mean, Rabbi Yochanan, look, you could go ahead and pass him like Rabbi Yochanan, and it's fine. But Anan Navik Rabbi Chanina. What about five? So he said, what do you mean, what about five? We don't pass it like that. We go like Rabbi Chanina, even seven is okay. So afilu sheva mutar. So what about nine, if it's properly balanced? Afilu shlona asur. That's not the point. You can't go beyond seven according to Rabbi Chanina. Lo'emine, ahilat sanam Rabbami, a shoe manufacturer, asked Rabbami, he wanted to manufacture the Shabbos sandal, Mesumer, like that Shabbos lamps.
Kosher
sandals. It's a great idea. There's always a market possibility here for any of these areas, right? So, so obviously the manufacturer contacted Rib Ami, so he wanted to know, how about if I put in a lining, a leather lining on the inside of the sandal, and connect the leather lining with the sewing? So is it still a sandal, I'm assuming, or is it like now already it's, you know, this is already an upper class sandal on the surface. It wasn't good enough there. Amalei mutar. I got to tell you, I was makabel that it was mutar. Lo yada my time, but I don't know why. Sounds weird to me. Rav Ashi, I understand. Lo yada my time. What's your question? Kima de tafro mi b'fim avalei mina. Once you already created that lining, it's essentially, it's a shoe, it's not a sandal anymore. The sandal goes a berabanan, that was the maestro, and that was the standard. Bimina, lo goes a berabanan. Everyone is a machalik, even verbally, between a sandal and mina. And therefore this isn't similar by any stretch of the imagination to the original gezerah of the type of kemaisa shalim. And it wasn't gezerah now because of danger. No, it was never gezerah because of danger. It was gezerah to be koveya the events. It's not that we really were chayshish that people are going to start kicking each other with their football cleats.
That's the whole basis of the encounter with each other, they kill each other.
Correct, but it doesn't mean that the gezerah is that we're afraid they're going to do so again.
More of a memory tool.
It's a memory tool, mishum ma'asashaya, or it's an indication. Remember that the development of Torah goes hand in hand with history, right? Obviously. Because everything develops historically. So the question is, events, the way that society develops, the way that technology develops, it's on itself. It's kovei the halacha. There's a constant feedback. So the question is, there are events which may not make sense in terms of defining a particular halachic category. Nonetheless, the responsiveness of Torah to that event, Chazal sense as being important to turn it into a halachic issue, not just a hashgraphic question. Okay, so sometimes there's an inyan of, if this is what happens, so we should be more nizar. Say more nizar about Tumas Meis, which we're going out of our way to be careful about when it comes to Tumas Atahom, Lagabi Torah, and so on and so forth. Or an event such as this, if you hold that it's a din in Zahiris, and clearly, if it's just a din in memory, it might be din in Onik Shabbos, as some of the Rishonim suggest. We don't want people remembering the terrible stories that happened this month at a time when they get together, and we do our best to let's take that out of the repertoire. Also in India. There are other elements offered. As I said, this is a strange, mysterious area of halacha, Guzeiras of Maisa Shahaya. And there may be many, many things that relate to the undercurrent of Torah, where halacha just expresses something. It doesn't necessarily have to be part of a clear-cut system, but it expresses something which is part of a system. And those type of, they're far and few, these things, but this is one of them.
A neighborhood
comment, sure.
It's the Moshe Adamantia, one set of complicates, the shul's on the grounds. Why the shul's has a menorah inscribed over the entrance of the room. And one of them...
You don't think it's just because they were using the mikla?
This one is 8 stories deep. A higher shul, and I never saw it. It's also a lower shul. Right? But this, the higher shul, you come out, you have to climb up on a step and take your body through a narrow opening, which they were smaller than maybe. Wouldn't be such a tircha, and then there's like 3 steps, and then there's one of these escape tunnels to get up to the outside. Mm-hmm. And if you walk outside and stand, the people down below here, it's literally the same as the same as.
Wow.
Yeah. Stand outside.
Wow.
You were here
at
shake.
Yeah. Most of these caves we went into, as little escape rooms, I couldn't get through them.
If you stayed in the cave for a half a year, you'd get through it. It's like Winnie the Pooh and Rabbit. Okay. Yeah. Well, we've been through a lot around these parts. Huh? Yeah. This has to do with like that, you know, sense of Yisrael's relationship to Shabbos, to Shmira Shabbos, and Zeres, and so on.
By
the way, it feels good. It feels like an understandable.
By the way, the churva had an escape gate through the Aron Kodesh.
Really?
That's what that door is? Yeah, in the Aron Kodesh.
Yeah. We're always wondering, what the heck could that be?
Of course.
Oh, my God.
In case they were rocked out on the other side, they could escape into the...
Yeah, we saw it.
Yes, in both Susia and in the newly discovered Kirbat Adri, there are escape tunnels going in and out of the shuls. I heard that there are.
Wow. Okay, so I mean, that Mamish part of the city. Wow. Yeah. We've come to live a life of entitlement for you. The moment any little thing goes wrong. All right. Well, they're coming back. The Russians are banning the Shulchan Aruch. It's all right. Start burning the Talmud.
Because you're still in June.
Why not for the Shulchan Aruch? I think the Shas is more. All the things they put out at play.
Ramadan, you too. What Baba Tanya says to say about Goyim, I have to worry about that also.
That's why in the Ov, it says one who has a deal with a Goy shouldn't do it in Ov, because it's a Muslim. That's why it's in Aramaic.
Okay. Yeah, so we got up to Goyim in Rababa Razavda, in Rababa Ravina. How about if the masmerim were staples? Or even if they weren't originally staples, you made them into a staple, essentially, by bending the nail over and, you know, you nailed it in a little bit and then bent it and nailed in the other end. So you turned it basically into a staple, not a nail. What would be the thing? I'm like mutter. Because it's not the way it was. If there's no cleats, it's all solid metal now, because you put in so many nails that the whole bottom is covered with metal in order to avoid using up the sole and grinding it down on these stones in the rova. As you know, you cannot wear leather shoes in the rova. As a matter of fact, forget about Yotze. Lo yitayami bayit labayit. You can't go from one room to the next wearing a sandal on the sumar on Shabbos. You know what? Forget about going from room to room. Don't get off the bed, put on your sandal on the sumar, and walk over to the other bed. Afilu mi mital mita. But it doesn't mean it's mux. Metatlina tala chasot batakli. The smoke will cry out. If you don't happen to have any hates in the house, you could use your sandal on the sumar to support your bed on. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Oh, sir. And Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon knows it's also to move it at all. It's completely mux. Noshu rov mas mirotav. Minishtairu barbao hamisha. Mutar, v'rebi matir at sheva. If most of the nails have fallen out, the rebbe holds even for up till 7, you can leave them there. Chiporu ba'or milamata v'kavolo masmerot milamana mutar. If you put it, you made it backwards, or you did it in a strange way. You covered it with ore on the bottom, the wood with ore, and then nailed that in. That's not the way in which it was normally made. So similar to so kamin kalva, so kamin tas. If you put on like a little what did I say it was tap? No, the tap. What do they call those things?
Tap.
They don't call it a tap. They do it now. Even the women nail it onto the shoe to prevent it from eating away the leather at the tip.
Taps.
I think they don't call it taps. All right. So I mean, I, okay. So then it's winter. All these cases of mutter. Now, wait a second. First you said, Noshu Rov Masmerotav. You said, most of the Masmerot have fallen out. Which would mean that even though it's maybe you had originally 50 Masmerot, now you've got 24 Masmerot. So most of the Masmerot have fallen out. It should be okay. Then you turn around. So that's Mashbi, Apagav Nishtar Botu, and there's plenty of nails left. Then you say, well, maybe four or five, but not more than that. I mean, how do you explain that? It depends. If they were pulled out completely, so then, I mean, then it looks like a shoe that only had originally four or five. So once you go up to seven, or certainly more than that, it becomes osher. If you could still see the metal that has been eaten away, then everybody says, oh, this was once basically a protected shoe, not a cleated shoe. So then, okay, then if it's robots, it's up to robots, okay. Arbal chamesh mutar. Can you tell me what the point of saying four or five is? I mean, if five, so like with four. Ashta chamesh shari, what are you saying arba? Amrefista arba misandal katan, chamesh misandal gadol. Rebbe matar at sheva, vatanya Rebbe matar at shloshesrei. Ah, that was back in the shoe that was noteh, remember? Conveniently ignored that the first time you brought it up. Noteh means the shoe's been eaten away. I want to say you're trying to even it up again, push up the sole, so you figure a cheaper way to do it would be to put something else in it, right? So there he's talking about, there you could do a noter shine. By the way, now you're telling me already noter shine. So then there was no cash on Rabbi Yochanan. He made this big deal asking on Rabbi Yochanan. So how come he can't put in more? He should have just said. So say, well, he holds life. He could have just said, really, that if the case over there was no tip. Omrav Masna, I'm not Omrav Achtavoy Bar Masna, Omrav Masna. In Alachak, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Maisa, we don't paskin like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. So I say, why would I have thought that we would paskin like him? The Rabbanit said you can move it around for the Mitah, or you can move it around for some other Tzorah. Well, why would I think of Yachid, who argues with the Rabbin, that the Allah would be like, well, every time you mention that, you say that Allah is the Rabbin. No, because, you see, my other thing is, Mistavra Taima, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Baha. I mean, it's so reasonable. Once you start, when you allow a person to use the sandal and the suma, I mean, it's the most natural thing in the world. People don't generally view their shoes as muksa. Especially if they have to set it aside. They can't use it on Shabbos, okay? Set it aside. But you're going to say, you can use it for this and that. Just don't put it on your foot. It's not going to work. You're going to put it on the foot. So maybe I might have thought that we should pass the microbial description. It's maybe it's not logic. We're not so mashman on this. I'll tell you the truth, said Rav Chia. I know what's going to happen, and there's a lot of social pressures not to be martyred too much nowadays against the Chumra Month Club. So, Ilav the Karli Bavloi Shor Yisu, I know what would happen. They call me, oh, the Bobo guy who says everything's mutter. I mean, basically, they call me a conservative rabbi. So, I myself would have been Sharina Betuva. I would have said, you can have an awful lot of Masmerim in there before it becomes an Asandal Amasul. The Kama, how many? I mean, once we're whispering, how far would you go? I mean, this is really exciting. So in Pumpadisa, they say that he was willing to be matir 24. In Surah, which is between Pumpadisa and Eretz Yisrael, they only said 22. Now, it's easy to forget those two, unless you remember that if you're traveling from Pumpadisa to Surah, you're bound to lose one or two cleats on the way. So that way, you remember, you started out with 24 and you left with 22. So v'simanecha ad da'ata mipumpadita l'surah. By the time you walk from pumpadita to surah, chaser ta'ata, you lost two of your cleats. Rashi also says that surah and chaser is itself a sinah. First of all, surah means you got out of it. Right? So it was v'sar. It's also the same letters, chaser, surah. I don't remember it that way. That's about the way we remember our siman.
The closer they get there, the lower the number gets.
How does it come from
Well, they were talking about a shoe that has been eaten away now. It's not even. They're trying to even it up. No, no. We came now to add. We said now that we realize this, we could have said that with a feeling.
Early army boots, and when I came, they had metal studs that were meant for walking in the sand. When we came to the city, and we, with these metal studs, we slipped and fell off the steps, and it was terrible. We couldn't walk in the city at all. And it was sliding all down. It's pretty useful.
How many studs were there on there?
The whole shoe was studded with metal studs for walking in sand and climbing a hill, walking on a tar. On the tarmac, we fell off the steps in the Tahan al Kazit, and we used to slip and slide.
Okay. Are we ready for our chazarot today? When did you say Kaddish people slip out? Like, this is going to be trapped. Them. Go ahead, say
Kaddish.